Good morning. If you have your Bibles, if you would turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and our scripture will be verses 25 through 34. While you're turning there, I just say it's such a privilege to be here this morning. Fortunately, it was a little bit warmer this morning than it was earlier in this week. I've told some that Amy and Diana and I, we were in the Caribbean last week. We were floating around in the water in 80-degree weather, and we came home to 39-degree weather. So it was a little bit of a shock to us, but it was very nice. If we look at Matthew 6, beginning at verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on it. Is not life more than food, and the body not more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Please pray with me. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just humbly bow before you this time, just thanking you for the many blessings that you bestow upon each one of us. And Lord, we just pray a special blessing upon the reading of your word this morning. And Lord, I pray that you give me the words that you would have me to speak. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Do you find it difficult to discern what God's will is? Do you find that sometimes we begin to replace God's will with what we seek and what we desire as an individual? Now, I think it's God's will for me to have a new car. You know, God wants me to provide for my family. He wants me to have a good job. He wants my safety and wants me to be able to get to my job safely. Therefore, he must want me to go buy this new $60,000 car. Sometimes that's how we do things in our mind. We try to justify what we want and try to turn it around and say this must be what God wants for us. You also sometimes find that we worry about things in life that aren't important. The little minor, little bitty things in life, they get us so stressed out and worrying about those. You know, sometimes we do this because we begin to seek out the things that we feel are important in life, and we start to stray away from what God wants us to do. We look for the things that make each of us happy. When we do this, we often get consumed by those things, and it gets our sights off of where they're supposed to be. We're supposed to be directed at God, but when we begin to worry about the things of the world, it gets us to focus and center on that, and we kind of shove him to the side. Now, we've all heard the powerful and the enlightening message that Jesus delivered in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, his Sermon on the Mount. Now, it's the most well-known, most informative, and most empowering sermon that's ever been delivered. And it gives us a roadmap on how we're supposed to live our life. If we begin in with the Beatitudes in chapter 5 and follow it all the way through, everything that we need to know in life, the rest of the Bible is extremely important, but we can take those three chapters and it can give us that map that we need to to follow in life. It teaches us how to pray. It teaches us how to treat others. It teaches us what we're supposed to be focusing upon, who we're supposed to put first and foremost in our lives, and what we need for a solid foundation. It provides us everything that we need in life. You know, in this portion of Scripture, Jesus taught the disciples not to worry about the things that they have no control over. We don't need to let things of this world bring us down and let our concerns and our anxieties consume us and overpower us. We need to rely upon God and trust that He will take care of us. He's going to provide for us. He's going to give us anything and everything that we need in life, and that's where we need to focus upon. So first, we don't need to worry. First thing that Jesus tells us about is not to focus on all of these things in our life that we're letting consume us, and we need to be focusing on Him. Now, this doesn't mean that we need to go around and do crazy things that are harmful to ourselves. Pastor Search Committee came to First Baptist Ridgeway and listened to me one time and heard me tell a story about doing something really stupid that was harmful to myself. I went skiing without any lessons, thought I was smart and I knew everything that I needed to know, and I'm 90 miles an hour down a mountain and run into a house. But you know, it doesn't mean that we just go carelessly after everything and do anything we want to with total disregard for ourselves. But it means that we shouldn't be focusing on the little small things in life. Doesn't mean that we just cast our safety and our well-being aside. It means that we need to prioritize things. We need to focus on what is most important in our life, and what's most important in our life is serving God. It's ensuring that everything that we do has Him in the center and everything is focused upon Him. We don't need to focus on those senseless and those immaterial things. We often worry about the things that are virtually meaningless. Many times we let ourselves get consumed with our job, with vehicles, other possessions, those tangible items in life, and we forget about God. And we think, well, hey, we've got time to take care of that. We got time to God's gonna accept us into His kingdom at any time. And I think any time that we have it right in our hearts, God is going to accept us in. But we don't know. Jesus is coming. We don't know when that's going to be. It might be tomorrow. It might be in 5 minutes. We don't know that. So we need to get ourselves right. We do this in the church also. We get so focused on things, and money is one thing. I know we got to focus upon that, but God's going to provide for us. God's going to take care of us. We get so consumed with the budget, but we have to focus on that, and we've got to keep that first in, a high priority. But God's going to provide. I've had many times in my life when I've struggled, is how am I going to do this? God always comes through. I've been preparing for a sermon before, and come Saturday morning, He completely flipped it around, and I got up and preached the next morning. But he's going to always come through. He's always going to provide us what we need. Worry doesn't change anything. Actually, it causes us problems. Muscle tension causes eating disorders, high blood pressure, stroke, heart attack, all of these problems that worrying about things, they cause. And if we think about that, we've increased our health issues, but what have we done to solve the problem? The problem's still there. The problem still persists. But if we would have taken a moment, prayed to God about it, asked Him how we're supposed to handle it, what do we need to do, place it at His feet, He's going to take care of it, guaranteed, and all of these other problems can be shoved to the side. How do a lot of people cope with anxiety and issues? Alcohol, drugs, worrying. It doesn't mean that we are to be lazy in life and just be carefree about everything, but we just don't need to let things get consumed, and we don't need to focus upon God in everything that we do. There was a pastor one time, he was on an airplane and flying along, and the announcement came over and says, "We're going to be hitting a little bit of turbulence, so we're not going to be able to serve any drinks for a little bit." So looked around, he started seeing people getting a little anxious. Another announcement came on, said, "I'm sorry, but we're not going to be able to serve the meal because turbulence is ahead, so we're going to have to just postpone that for a little bit." Everybody started really getting nervous, and about that time, started seeing flashes of light out the window. The plane started to jolt and bounce it around. It would hit a pocket, it would jerk it up in the air, and then it would go down again, and thinking he was going to crash. And the pastor was really getting worried. He was looking around. He was seeing people praying. He was praying, people getting really upset. And there was this little girl sitting there. She was just sitting there in a chair, and she was coloring and writing, and she was carefree. She didn't have a worry in the world. And he said the plane just kept bouncing around and jerking around, and then he kept watching her, and she'd close her eyes for a minute, and then she would go open her eyes and start coloring again. So after a little bit, they got through the storm, the plane landed, and everyone was scurrying to get off the plane. Well, the pastor said, "I'm going to wait. I'm going to stay right here, and I'm going to talk to this little girl and see why was she so brave through this?" So he walks up to her and said, "Well, I noticed everybody was so upset and nervous, but you were very calm through this, and you just focused on your coloring and what you were doing." He said, "Why weren't you scared?" He said, "Because my daddy's flying the plane and he's taking me home." And, you know, there are many storms in our life. There are many things that go on in our life that challenge us, but God's flying our plane. God's in control. God's taking care of us. Everything that goes on in our life, He's got that under control, because He's going to take care of us. God gave us life, and God gave us hope, and God gave us a future. Will He not provide for us in other ways also? If we need something in life, in our earthly life, is He not going to provide for that? He's provided for us for our eternal life. He created us. Is He not going to take care of us in our earthly life? If He's able to create everything that's around us, and it amazes me. I don't understand it. I have faith that it happened, but I don't understand how He did it. But I'm not God, so I'm not supposed to understand. But God spoke everything in this world into existence. Everything except one, that was woman. He created woman from man. But everything else in this world, everything he spoke and it became. So if God could do that, then is He not capable of taking care of that little problem that we've got in life? If we've got a money issue, if we've got a health issue, if we've got a job issue, is He not able to take care of that? Well, He created everything that created those issues that we have, so can He not take that away? Absolutely can. All we've got to do is ask Him for help. He sent Jesus here to provide our salvation. If He did that, then He's going to take care of those little problems that we've got in life. What we need to do when we begin to worry is we need to rely more heavily upon Him. We need to trust more in Him. There are plenty of scripture that tells us that we're not, or how we're supposed to handle worry, and that we're not supposed to worry. One, I wear this on my wrist because Lord knows I need it. Philippians 4:6 tells us not to be anxious. Tells us through prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving, bring all of our troubles and our worries and everything to God. He's going to take care of it. He's going to get us through. And all we've got to do is trust in Him. God's going to take care of us. He loves us, and he's not going to let anything happen to us. Next thing is, he's going to provide. Jesus is explaining here that if God provides for the birds of the air, then he's definitely going to provide for us. Talks about our value as a human, as one created in his image. Our value, how much higher it is than the value of other creatures. We're his creation. We're created in his image. We look at how he loves, how much he loves us. He sent us Jesus. God in human form came to this earth. The pain and the suffering that he took, and it amazes me, and it always gets me a little choked up when I think about this, when I think about Jesus' death. And I try to imagine what he was enduring. If we think of we know how it feels when somebody makes fun of us, picks on us, and how that bothers us. Well, this is picking to the nth degree, the persecution that he received. So couldn't begin to imagine how bad that was. And then the beating. I mean, skin parting open because they were beating him so bad. The physical pain. The crown that they placed on his head. I can only imagine thorns that long. I know getting out there mowing my yard, I got some briars, some blackberry briars around the edge of my yard, and I'm out there mowing and I'm trying to get close, and this bald head, those little briars hang it, and it hurts. And that's just a little bitty one. I can only imagine what that was like. Then the pain of dragging his cross. Then the pain of, I was building a little building one time, and I had 2 20-penny nails in my hand, and trying to be some carpentry expert, I was going to stick one to the side and I was going to hit the other one and drive it in, and then I'd take the other one and drive it in. Well, I hit both of them, one in the wood and one in my finger, and I know how that hurt. And now that was a sharp pointed nail. This was, I can only imagine, a blunt spike driven through the hands, driven through the feet, bones breaking. Just can't begin to imagine what he endured, how much pain that he suffered because of that. And he did that because he loves us. He endured that simply because of his love for us. So we don't have to worry about things. He's going to provide for us. The birds didn't store up food. God provides for them each and every day. He's going to provide for us. We have to have faith, and we have to have trust that he's going to take care of us. Faith that anything that goes on in our life, he's going to be there and he's going to provide. Anyone ever done those team building exercises where you turn around and got your team behind you and you fall backwards and they catch you? That's absolute craziness. I wouldn't do it. So I have a feeling that I probably picked on too much and they probably dropped me. But, we all got in our car this morning, and we had faith that our car was going to take us to church and was going to bring us here. Wasn't going to leave us stranded out in the cold. Amy, Diane, and I, we got on a ship and sailed out in the middle of the ocean for 300 miles to the Bahamas, trusting that the ship was going to get us there and get us back. Now, we had a First Baptist Ridgeway. I may have told this story, but First Baptist Ridgeway had a yard sale one time. I was trying to raise a little money, built a picnic shelter to buy some picnic tables. And we would always do a hot dog lunch along with that, just to raise a little extra money. And Amy's parents ran a restaurant for 25 years or so. Amy worked there from birth, and I worked there for quite a few years. And so we said that, hey, me and Amy will take care of, we'd always take care of that hot dog lunch. Well, we'd always sold the hot dogs, and I said this time, I said, let's give them away. Let's not sell them, let's just give them away. Well, another person that was helping me organize all of this, she didn't really like it that we were giving the hot dogs away because it was about raising the money. And I said, well, let's just do it. God's going to provide for us. God's going to take care of us. So we set a bucket out there, a little tip jar or donation bucket. People would come up, how much are the hot dogs? They're free. Whatever you want. If you want to put a dollar in there for a tip, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine too. Whatever you want. Normally make $300 to $400 on that weekend. And this time, without selling the hot dogs, we made a little over $600. God's going to provide. God's going to take care of us. God's going to do that. We had all of the everything that was left in there that no one bought. So I was in charge of getting rid of it. So I said, well, I had a guy right out the street. It's a old elementary school, and it's a Hispanic church now. Well, the pastor came out there and said, hey, what are you going to do with all of this stuff? And I said, well, just get back with me on Saturday afternoon, and we'll figure something out. So I called him Saturday afternoon. He came out. He looked at everything. He said, okay, what do you want for it? I said, you can have it. I said, if you'll take it, you can have it. I said, we've made enough money on this. We've made enough money to buy everything that we wanted to buy with it. We don't need any more. I said, we're good. And gave it to him. Well, some didn't really like that I gave this stuff away, but hey, if it's going to help somebody else, why not give it to them? So this pastor said, well, y'all got Vacation Bible School coming up. What if I send you a bunch of kids? Well, they end up sending a bunch of kids to us, a bunch of adults to interpret and all this, and it worked out great. God provided for us. God took care of us and gave us everything that we needed. And all we had to do was have faith and trust in Him that He would do it. So if we have the faith to go out and get out in a car and drive for miles, if we have faith to get in a ship and float out in the middle of the ocean, why don't we have the trust and the faith in God that He's going to take care of us and provide us everything that we need? If He created all of these things, why don't we believe that He can handle anything else that comes about from it? God has proved to us many times that He's going to take care of us. How many times does He have to do that before we fully trust in Him? How many times do we worry about things and not pray to Him and have the faith in Him that it takes to get through those things? God's the one constant that's in our lives. People come and go, relationships come and go, but God is here to stay. We need to trust fully in Him in everything. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tells us to trust God with all of our heart and not lean on our own understanding. Our human nature, we want to understand everything. Everything that we do, we want to fully understand and comprehend and grasp it. But we can't always do that. But we can have faith. We can have trust that God's going to provide for us. God's going to take care of us. God's going to get us through it. We don't need to worry over things that have no meaning or no worth. We just need to put our full and unconditional faith and trust in Him. And the third is we need to seek His will in everything that we do. Verse 33 tells us that seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So that's what we need to do. We need to, in everything that we do, we need to seek His will. If we're not seeking God's will, then we're out and we're self-serving and we're trying to provide for ourselves and our own satisfaction. Now, a drunk driver isn't supposed to get out there, and a drunk person isn't supposed to get out there and get on the road, get on the highway. Alcohol impairs the ability to operate that vehicle safely and can hurt themselves or could hurt someone else. We can't get out there and navigate this world by ourselves. We've got to let someone else take over and take the wheel, if you will, and drive us and steer us through life. If we try to drive ourselves, then we're destined for failure. We need to let God drive, and we need to trust in His ability. We need to let Him take control. He's the one who's capable, not us. An example of my house, I've heard the saying, my house is my kingdom. You know, that's the way it is in my house. Things are going to go my way right after Amy's, Jacob's, and Diana's. I make the rules right after theirs. But we, like you say, hey, you're going to follow my rules or you're going to go. It's the way it is. Well, God's head of our kingdom. We need to follow His rules. If we want to live in His kingdom, and we want Him to take care of us in everything that we do, in every aspect of our life, then we've got to follow Him. We've got to seek His will. Now, my intentions or my plan for life wasn't to be standing right here. I had my plan. My plan was selfishness. My plan was money. And God got me straight. A lot of people say, I remember where I was when President Kennedy was killed. I remember where I was when 9/11 happened. I remember when the space shuttle exploded. I remember not all of those things, but I remember a couple of them. But I remember exactly where I was when God got my attention. And He showed me that I need to follow Him. I need to follow His direction, and I need to seek His will and not seek my own. If I seek my own, it's just selfishness, and I'm shoving Him to the side. And I tried a few things, and because I was seeking selfishness, I was met with roadblocks. And when I began to understand that I needed to follow Him and follow His direction, then those roadblocks moved. And I was able to go, and I still with some hills. There was some backside of that hill that I was able to kind of coast down. It was really easy. And other times it was near vertical that I was climbing. But God helped me through it. God got me through it. And I knew that I was following His will. Jesus told us that we need to seek His guidance in everything that we do. He told us that we need to seek what He has planned for us. If we look a few verses back in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, we can, in verses Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13, we see the model prayer. Well, what does that model prayer tell us there in verse 10? It says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So God's will is going to be done. God's going to take care of it. Our cousin, Nikki, has been in the hospital since August, I think. Or she first went in the hospital in August. And was going to have a baby. Had the baby on a Thursday. On Friday, early Friday morning, she started having seizures, and she had to actually stop breathing for 6.5 minutes. Doctor said that she wasn't gonna survive it. We had been down there and had prayed and prayed and prayed, and our prayer was, God, bring her out of this. God, heal her body. God, take care of her. And I remember, and Amy told me, it was probably a couple weeks after it, that she said, "You remember the last time that we were down there where she was at Moses Cone and she was being transferred to Duke the next day?" She said, "The last day your prayer was different." And I said, "It was." And I said, "I prayed for God's will to be done. God, take care of this. I want your will to be done." And I quit praying for my selfishness. My selfishness was I wanted her. I wanted her back. But I prayed for God's will to be done. Within days, there was a turnaround. With a couple, about 3 weeks maybe after that, she came home. She's at home right now, and she's doing good. She's still got a struggle and a hard path ahead of her, but she made it through it. And why? I don't know. I believe that it's because of... I just wonder, was God sitting there waiting? Is somebody going to say, let my will be done? Was that the reason? Don't know. I believe in my heart that it was. And because God took care of it. You know, I'd never prayed like that before. It was always focused on what I wanted and not focused on what He wanted, on His will being done. You know, ours doesn't matter. Ultimately, it's His will and His will being done. We need to seek God's will in everything that we do, and He's going to take care of it. He's going to provide. He's going to take all of those worries that we have and take those away. All we have to do is put our full and unconditional trust and faith in Him. We have to look beyond what we want in life and seek what God wants. So we need to stop worrying. We need to understand that God is always going to provide for us and that we need to seek Him. We got to understand that this is God's kingdom. Things are going to happen His way. And things happen for the furtherance of His kingdom, for the growing of His kingdom. We don't need to get ourselves all worked up about things. Yes, things are going to happen in our life that are going to get us upset. There are times in our lives that we're going to worry and we're going to stress. But how should we respond? We need to seek Him out in everything that we do. We need to seek His guidance and His direction in everything that we do. And we need to pray that His will be accomplished. We can ask for anything that we want. He tells us that. But we need to pray that His will is what happens. He's going to take care of us. He's going to provide for us, provide everything that we need. All we have to do is center our lives around Him, and He's got the rest of it under control. Our problems begin to fade away when we set our sights on Him. He's our God. He's our Lord. He's our Savior, and He's our Redeemer. He has everything under control, and all we've got to do is submit to Him and ask for His guidance and obey. Please pray with me. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You and we praise You, and we just thank You for the many blessings that You bestow upon each one of us. Lord, You just give us so much, and Lord, we're not worthy of that. And Lord, we just pray that as we go through life, when we're faced with trials, when we're faced with troubles, we just pray that we always seek You out. We all always ask for Your direction and Your guidance. And Lord, above all, we pray that Your will be accomplished. But we love You and we praise You and just thank You so much for Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.